any politician will go the wrong way left to their own devices.
Politicians will conform in their behavior to the requirements of voters for the most fundamental reason of all: they want to keep their job.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV, and today we're talking with Dick Armey and Matt Kibbe, authors of Give Us Liberty, a Tea Party Manifesto, and the head honchos at FreedomWorks. Guys, thanks for coming.
Thanks, Nick.
The main central complaint of the Tea Party movement is that the government spends too much money. What needs to be cut and how fast?
Actually, the complaint is it's too big and it's too meddlesome, but you have to cut the government immensely and as fast as possible.
Give us specifics.
Well, obviously the big line is you can't deal with it unless you deal with entitlement spending. There's one guy that's stepped up to that is Paul Ryan. He's condemned by the liberals and ignored by the Republicans, but the fact is if you just said all government benefit programs can be voluntary participation only, then all of a sudden you've got people voluntarily saying, well, take me off your list of unfunded mandates for Medicare and Social Security.
By the way, there's a bunch of low-hanging fruits. Oh. You could repeal Obamacare, you could repeal TARP, right. You could repeal Fannie and Freddie, and these are all big fiscal time bombs, right. But I think you need to cap discretionary spending as well. And by the way, defense shouldn't be held harmless. If you limit the overall growth in a budget, you're going to force some efficiencies that's essential. Right.
Well, and historically, defense spending is where the big cuts come.
But you could do, for example, I mean, you got inane programs like AmeriCorps. Right. Get rid of it. Yeah. It's absurd to begin with. You can BBS and all endowment of this art and that art and so forth. Agriculture policy. In the discretionary section of the budget, there's much that can be done.
So politically, what has to happen, because on a certain level, what you're saying is standard, you know, kind of limited government rhetoric. Why is it going to work now when it didn't work under Bush?
Well, responsibility on spending has now become the defining issue in politics. And this whole movement, this whole Tea Party movement, is there to hold politicians accountable. They've replaced a lot of big spending Republicans. And we like to say that November 3rd is more important than November 2nd because all politicians left to their own devices will spend money they don't have. So these guys have to show up, the Tea Party has to show up after the election and hold them accountable.
And I think politicians more often than not give their vote to the person they fear the most. Well, they're going to be now more afraid of the advocates of limited government than they are of the advocates of the pork barrel.
One of the archetypal images from the Tea Party march last year was government, get out of my Medicare. Which suggests there's a certain level of confusion among the Tea Party rank and file. Do they understand?
No confusion at all.
Okay.
There is, as you might guess, confusion among liberals because they can't understand any idea that's deeper than the water on the plate. But what they're saying is, look, you forced me into Medicare. I have no choice. You punish anybody that would give me medical services and take payment other than Medicare. So it's really give me liberty or give me death with Medicare. Now, don't come in here and cut my Medicare so you can expand your compulsive mandates on all the population. And there's a big difference between don't cut my benefits and don't cut Medicare. If I were to be free to choose to stay in this program, then make good on your commitment. But if you leave others to be free to leave, there will be more money available for the making of that commitment.
Let's talk a little bit about politics. Despite being extremely unpopular, Harry Reid is basically, you know, running neck and neck with a challenger. You know, many incumbents are already doing well. Larry Sabato, the political scientist, said it's looking like the incumbency rate's going to be around 92%, which is slightly down from an average of about 95-98%. You know, what's going to happen in the midterms?
I think it's going to be a big wave of independent voters that are going to change these elections.
Right. And I don't imagine how anybody can say the incumbent rate is 92%. It's probably getting pretty close to that right now, and just incumbent senators that are retired or lost their seat in primaries. So an incumbent retention rate of 92%, I think, is the person who makes that point has just discredited themselves.
In your book, you talk a lot about how the Tea Party movement has to take over the Republican Party. What assurances do we have or do we need that they'll govern differently this time than the last time? Under Bush, the Republicans were terrible. They essentially colluded to increase discretionary federal expenditures by 100%. What's going to be different this time?
Well, first of all, this movement that's transforming Congress is a bottom-up movement, and politicians will conform in their behavior to the requirements of voters for the most fundamental reason of all: they want to keep their job.
We call it a hostile takeover of the Republican Party, by the way, and there's two parts of that process. First is personnel changes, and we're replacing senators like Bennett with senators like Lee. And the second part is our ability, like you say, to hold these politicians accountable, because any politician will go the wrong way left to their own devices.
So how central is Sarah Palin and her endorsements of particular candidates to the Tea Party movement?
Well, my guess is that when Sarah Palin gets in the endorsement business, she's probably doing pretty much the same thing we're doing, listening to the real activists that really live in the state or district and getting their information about what is the quality of the two candidates and what races may be winnable, rather than listening to the professionals in the political party that are detached, removed, and simply, frankly, don't know. We have known better about what's been going on in Republican primary politics for the past 2 years of the Republican Party. Why? Because we listen to real people. I think Sarah Palin's doing the same thing.
Yeah, but she's no more the Tea Party leader than Dick Armey or Matt Kibbe are, and it's a leaderless movement. But you are seeing this movement represents a stage, and you're seeing a lot of candidates climb up on that stage. And I say, let the more leaders, the better.
Where's the Tea Party stand on abortion, foreign affairs, drug legalization, terrorism, immigration?
I think the Tea Party movement is focused on fiscal issues, and all of those issues are kind of outside that core set of issues that unites us.
And let me say, one of the things that makes this movement so refreshing on the field of political activity today is this enormous tolerance for diversified opinion. So we don't look at the guy next to us and say, you got to agree with me on this issue or that issue, but there's a natural unity on the big issues that are compelling the voters in America.
Are you going to be able to maintain that? Because already we see certain elements of the Tea Party going down to the Arizona border and supporting Arizona's immigration bill. It seems like politics always starts to put its nose under the tent, right?
No, they're free to do that. The immigration bill, particularly as you look at the state of Arizona, saying, I will defend my borders in the absence of a federal government that's effective. These are serious policy matters. And quite frankly, within this movement, you're free to choose. If that's a priority that you have as an individual, go be active on behalf of that priority. That doesn't mean that they won't also show up when it comes time to balance the budget. They may, in fact, be very disappointed in a person in office on this issue while they applaud, for example, a John McCain on his commitment to stop earmarks.
If the Tea Party is successful, what will America or what will government look like?
I think the Tea Party, if it succeeds, is a sustainable community, and it's got to be there, and we got to get out of political space, because nobody pays attention to politics in the real world, into cultural space, and it's got to be fun, and it's got to be a way for people to stay engaged in the political process.
What do you mean by cultural space?
Cultural space is, if you go to a Tea Party, there's more music than there are canned political speeches. And it's more like a football game. I like to say it's more like the parking lot at a Grateful Dead concert, but Leader Armey may disagree with me on that.
Well, our members call it Tailgate Party, which we think is better than Deadheads, but then still, nevertheless, if George Strait were to show up, we'd celebrate him.
That's right.
And then, finally, who wrote the sex scenes in this book? Because they were incredibly disgusting.
We contracted out on that.
But you kept it within American borders, or is it okay to get them from Mexico?
We both felt like we should limit ourselves to things we really knew something about, so we needed to get somebody to come in and work on that.
That would explain the lack of sex scenes, for sure.
Absolutely. Well,
I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV. I want to thank former Majority Leader of Congress, Dick Armey, head of FreedomWorks, along with Matt Kibbe, also of FreedomWorks and the authors of the new best-selling book, Give Us Liberty, A Tea Party Manifesto. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.